This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
Well, thanks for joining us on the program today. In our second half hour, we're going to get a little preview of the Okanagan County Fair, which runs the same weekend as Chelan County Fair. If you're up kind of in the northern end of Douglas County, you might want to sneak up to OMAC for that. We'll talk with the Okanagan County Fair manager here in about half an hour or so. But right now, we welcome Misty Vibrock, the executive director of Rivercom 911. And Misty, I know you came back from a vacation here recently, which I'm sure was a lot more relaxing after that 85% voter approval of the renewal on the Rivercom 911 tax. How about that?
Isn't that incredible, Dave? Yeah, I guess I'll call it a vacation. Wrangling pigs at the North Central Washington Fair with my kids is not quite sure it's a vacation, but a definite distraction from work. So it's been a nice week off, but I'm back and just ready to get going again. And yes, I'm over the moon about the results. I just am in awe. We are so lucky to have such a supportive two-county area that we service.
The before we get going, which is easier, wrangling cats or wrangling pigs?
Oh, my goodness. I would say they're pretty equal. I would say maybe cats are a little easier.
Well, yeah, a nice tie-in with the fair there. It is fair season. Let's talk about that, but 85% voter approval approximately in the two-county area. It was one-tenth of 1% sales tax and sales and use tax. It was a renewal. This was a tax that we had been paying. This was a tax, though, that we were having to renew every couple of years. What was the previous cycle? Because that's what was new or different about this latest request.
That's correct. We actually have only run this one time. It was going to expire, and this one will expire December 31st of this year. So it had been going for 10 years. The difference this time is we asked the voters to approve this measure without a sunset. You know, we thought long and hard about that decision. I know that the voters want to see us being good stewards of their money, and they would like to see how we're going to use that. So voters are very cautious when they decide to choose to enact something that's not going to have a sunset. But, you know, as we look down and forecast, we really don't see any other revenue that's going to come our way. And so, you know, and we've shown the voters in the last 10 years, we've shown them what we're using their money for. And they're aware that these projects are still not finished.
As we had you on prior to the primary election, and even the former director, Jim Fossey, came in, that this mechanism was really the best way to go. Otherwise, the law enforcement agencies, the fire agencies, the emergency services, this potentially funding would have to come out of some of their revenue sources as well. So this was key.
Yes, Dave, that's correct. So really our user agencies, 23 of them, they are required to really pay for anything that we don't have revenue to supply for our budget. So we apply every other piece of revenue into our budget, and the user agencies absorb every other piece. Our user agency assessments have never that money has never been organized in a way that could be spent towards capital improvements. And so as I've spoken since January heavily on this topic, is we have these radio sites that we need to improve, and actually new sites that we need to build at the tune of about $1 million. And we had no funding mechanism for that. So that's what mostly we've used this money for the last 10 years, is these radio site improvements. And we have new sites we're building. But that is one piece that will continue with this funding, as we have a lot of radio infrastructure communication areas that are dead zones for our user agencies. It continues to be the number one priority for this money.
So what Rivercom is housed on top of the Wenatchee Police Department. Is that going to be the permanent home, or will you have to look at new facilities at some point in the future?
We will definitely have to look out. We went through a professional needs study last fall, and we are about 3,500 square feet short of what we need to operate, you know, with accurate staffing And so our lease is up with the city of Wenatchee for the upper floor of that building in 2024. So we will be looking as to where we'll be going next, as far as we know we don't, there's no room to renovate for us to stay there, which is unfortunate. We love the space there. So we'll be looking at either a current facility or building that we can renovate to make fit our needs, or we will be looking for some property and just building.
Now, how would you fund that? Would this the 0.1% levy fund that, or a sales tax fund that, or would you have to do some sort of a capital campaign? What would be the funding source for that?
Yeah, we definitely will have to be looking at that, Dave, and we are currently doing that. Since the passing of this tax, we immediately began strategically planning some 3-, 5-year, 10-year plans, and also we've been working heavily on our 2020 budget. So we'll be looking at what are we going to do. You know, the sales tax is going to be able to fund a lot of that if we do build, or we may have to bond a little bit of it. But, you know, the 0.1% brings in great revenue. We won't have these radio projects forever as far as the large $1 million sites that need to be built or renewed. And so we will have a lot of that funding to use towards our next location.
Right now, how are you doing for staffing? How do you fund staffing? Does this sales and use tax that we just passed continue on into the future with, does that help with staffing? Or does that come from a different fund?
So we currently do get reimbursed by the state through a contract for most of our telecommunicators. As far as the staffing goes, this money, again, the RCW, we can use it to the full extent this time, which allows us to pay for anything that would help run a center. Uniquely that you ask about our staffing, it's actually at an all-time low for telecommunicators. We are down about 11 positions today, and we just had a public safety testing on August 17th, and we had 9 candidates come out of that testing process that we are inviting to apply.
So what makes a good dispatcher? I think we maybe spoke about that a little bit last time you were here, talking about when the campaign was on to try and pass the Rubricon sales tax in the August primary. But what makes a good dispatcher?
Well, I would say the number one skill is multitasking. The ability to have a split ear is what we call it. The ability to hear the radio, whether it's a fire, EMS, or law enforcement unit talking to you in one ear, and then potentially a caller in your other ear, and being able to manage both of those disciplines. I would also say that a person who's driven intrinsically, so someone who cares and has compassion for people and wants to help, and someone who doesn't thrive off of having like the end results of what they've done, you know, a person that can hang up the phone and just know inside that they have helped, and don't need media or someone from the public to recognize them, because we don't get very much of that.
Well, we love all our first responders, and we know that they're doing a great job. But fortunately, you like you say, you have to know that you may not get the appropriate amount of thanks for the job. So, kind of a thankless job is it? That's the kind of the category. So, but it sounds like it's a field and it's a career that there is going to be a future needs for. So that's something you're kind of thinking about doing. Get in touch and apply for maybe future openings.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we don't typically have a large turnover. But, you know, a lot of folks that are coming into the career in the last 5 or so years, they're viewing the lifestyle of having to work shift work and being away from their family and missing special occasions. They're kind of weighing that versus, you know, a less paying job or that type of thing. So we've got a lot of people leaving us that are a little bit younger or have just started the career in the last 5 years or so that just kind of value the lifestyle over the higher paying or benefit type career job.
So you said you're about 3,500 square feet shy of really the proper space needs for the foreseeable future. I've been up to your Rivercom location there. Are you just on one floor there?
Yes, we just occupy a portion of the third floor.
Okay. That that seems like you have maybe only about that much space currently. I don't know how many square feet you currently occupy, but it seems like you need a lot more space than you currently have.
We do. Dave, there are so many limitations that we have currently, one being if we have a major disaster similar to the Sleepy Hollow fires, we do not have extra dispatching stations. So, for example, that fire, we paged out for some help from the dispatchers, and we had several many more bodies show up than we had workstations. So a lot of people that were calling in on 911 or the business line were just in a queue, a never-answered phone line that just rang and rang and rang to the caller. That's not okay, and we want to fix that. But also forecasting down the road, we need a training space. We don't have anywhere to train our current in-house academy, so we're occupying our only conference room for that. So if the academy's in there for 9 weeks, then we don't have anywhere to have our operations group meetings and any other faculty or staff type meetings. So space is definitely an issue for us right now, but we're managing, knowing that, you know, that's going to change probably around 2024 or so.
Well, how long has Rivercom been along, around? It used to be that each of the agencies, the fire, the police, of course, we had used to have Wenatchee Fire Department, then we had the Chelan County Fire Department. Each of the agencies had their own dispatch agency. How long has Rivercom been that unified service?
Yeah, we had just celebrated our 15th year anniversary, so we opened in July of 2004. And so, you know, we've learned a lot, we've grown a lot, and our service to the public and our user agencies has drastically improved. We don't have another agency transferring us a 911 call. So when a citizen calls in and they're having a medical emergency or a fire or a need for law enforcement, there's no second transfer. They don't have to tell their story twice. And that's truly been a great benefit to our citizens.
So what's new on the horizon in terms of technology? We hear that term enhanced 911. We see that on our phone bill or our wireless bill. What's the latest and the greatest coming down the pike?
Well, you know, a lot of agencies have text to 911, and Rivercom will certainly be going to that, you know, probably in the next year.
And what would text to 911 offer? So I don't have to physically speak my emergency. I would just say, help, you know, I'm having a heart attack or something like that?
That's correct. It's certainly not the method of communication that we would like to have you do first, if you can call. And quite honestly, Dave, there was a study that went out to several many citizens in lots of counties. We didn't do it here, but on a national level, where we actually polled citizens to say, if you had an emergency, do you think that you would prefer to call or would you prefer to text? And it was over 90% of the folks said, I want to know that someone has received my problem, and I would definitely call in an emergency. You know, they want to have that lifeline on the other end and hear them, be there asking them questions. When you text 911, we're not going to know where you are, so you're still going to have to provide your address. So where I really see text 911 serving the most is the deaf of hard of hearing public, or the folks that cannot speak. They have a speech impediment or whatever that might be. Also the folks that are truly kidnapped or in a domestic violence situation where they cannot use, you know, they would put them in more danger to use their voice to call us. So I see the text 911 being a little bit more of a delayed process because it's back and forth. And as you know, it depends on how fast the other party texts. And so there's some issues to it, but there's also a great benefit to the public, especially the hard of hearing folks who have been looking for an equal opportunity to reach 911. I'm excited to get that out for those folks especially.
We're talking with Misty Bebrock, who is the executive director for Rivercom, 911, the emergency dispatch service here for Chelan and Douglas County. What is the biggest mistake, or if there was a request that emergency dispatchers would have for the general public, the one thing that they know that we're in a panicked state when we're calling 911, beyond the obvious, they didn't put cheese on my burger when I went through the drive-thru, beyond that sort of stuff, because that's just idiocy. But the thing that we make a mistake maybe when we're calling in a panicked state that would be most helpful to that lifeline on the other end, the emergency dispatcher. What words of caution or tips could you give us?
Well, I think the number one, Dave, is, you know, the public really expects that we know where they are, and we don't. That piece of information is really out of our control. Yes, we have technology. It does not work all the time. It's not 100% consistent, but we really expect you to know where you are. And that is one piece that is completely out of our control. So knowing your address and being able to tell us right where you are immediately, that completely speeds up the process. It doesn't delay things at all. When we have folks who don't know where they are, there is so much time lost trying to figure out where they are. You know, we'll ask for common places. Do you see where you are? Do you see any businesses around you? Where did you start from? How long ago did you leave Chelan? If that's where you're, which direction are you heading? So you see where I'm going here, but, we expect that people are going to know where they are. And, there's more complaints that come my way about your dispatcher didn't know where I was. And that's correct. We don't. If you're calling from a home landline or a business landline, that address is going to show up for us. But if you're calling from a cell phone, which is about 80% of our callers today, we don't know where you are. So you need to know.
The other thing I noticed, we have a scanner, and I'm sure any of our listeners that like to have a scanner and use it, I'll notice a fair amount of chatter from the dispatcher to a law enforcement officer as the reporting party is no longer on the line. Someone trying to be a good Samaritan is providing a tip or reporting something they've observed, but has left the line already, and the officer wants more information from the dispatcher who can't provide it reporting party or the RP, I think is the term they use, is no longer on the line. So maybe a good idea to stay on the line until the dispatcher says, okay, you can go ahead and hang up, rather than, hey, I saw so-and-so, blah, 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 and then hanging up and kind of leaving a lot of incomplete information that could be provided and helpful?
Yes, that's correct. And, you know, on that note, Dave, as well, there's misunderstanding with the public, because we don't do a very good job of getting out here and speaking and educating as much as we should. But I think folks think the more time we're asking questions, it's delaying help. And that is far from the truth. We're asking questions to update the responders while they're responding. But as soon as we have a nature or a what's the problem, and we have the location, we can send help. It doesn't matter if it's fire and EMS or if it's law enforcement. Once we have an address and a problem, we are already spitting it out to our units to send them to help you. But we're asking additional questions because the situation at the scene always evolves, and we need to keep our responders safe, and we need to keep you safe when you're calling. And so we aren't delaying help. The questions that we are asking you are very important questions. And so, we try to ask the caller to just remain on the line until the officer arrives in the area or the fire and EMS folks if it's an emergent situation. And if not, we usually close by just saying, can you call us back if anything should change?
Okay. Sometimes people don't want to get involved, and they just want to give some basic information and leave it up to the emergency responders and all of that. But provide as much detail as you can, particularly when you're not involved. You're just trying to be the Good Samaritan. But I notice that an awful lot when we have our scanner in the newsroom, and there's a question from the officer who's been sent there, but the dispatcher can't provide any more information. And sometimes sounds like, just judging from what we're hearing, may not be able to get back a hold of the reporting party. Well, again, 85% of voters, roughly, just kind of rounding it off, said yes. We think the 0.1% sales and use tax renewal is a good idea in Chelan and Douglas County. And again, that's not just citizens, it's visitors who are paying that as well. And I know it was a decision the Rivercom board made, and a lot of hard work. I imagine you and other board members spoke to a lot of service clubs along the way throughout the spring and summer leading up to the August primary. And I know you were pleased to see that strong support voters gave him the thumbs up, not only for this, but also approving the link tax as well. There were two sales tax measures on the ballot. Sometimes that could be a little, you know, you don't quite know the mood of the voters, but both measures were passed.
That's right. That's right. You know, Dave, coming out as the new director in January, knowing that this was going to be on my shoulders immediately, it was very intimidating. However, I'm so grateful that it happened so soon and that of the timing, because I've met so many wonderful people, spoke to several many clubs, service clubs, learned so much about the Rotaries of each community, what amazing people they are. But it really took a community to really get this to pass. It wasn't all me. I have an amazing staff that put together wonderful information for me to talk to. And, you know, from the media to all the law enforcement heads, the fire and EMS folks that went out to really help campaign this, just ever grateful. You know, I posted this on my personal page, but I just truly feel so, I get very emotional when I talk about this funding, as I've learned how important it is for us, because as a citizen myself, knowing what this money does for us, had it not passed as a citizen, I think I would have been more devastated than a director, because this has secured funding for me, my family, and my friends as well. And, you know, we're chasing technology and trying to do a better service for the public, and that affects my family as well. So it touches home as well when you look at it as a citizen.
You never know when you're going to have to call 911, and it's nice to know Rivercom is there, and good to have Misty Vibrock, Executive Director, in with the update. Again, when you said nine folks who took the test did well and may have a future as a dispatcher with Rivercom here.
That's right. Yeah, we'll be reaching out, inviting them to apply, and we'll have some interview dates set up soon. The process, the time frame for having these telecommunicators actually working solo, if they make it all the way through the training process, is a good 6 months, if not longer. So we aren't looking until probably June of next year to really have some relief from our staffing shortage. So,
how long's the training process?
It's about 8 to 9 weeks in-house. It's like a classroom setting. And then after they've passed that, they have to do a little test to pass that. And then they actually go out onto the dispatch floor with a certified training officer. And that goes anywhere to 4 to 5 months.
Okay. Is it similar to what the Washington State Patrol does? Because I know that they kind of have their own process as well. But
yeah, my understanding with Washington State Patrol is they actually send their folks out of the area. I think they send them over to Burien or somewhere on the west side to a training academy. We actually just do ours in-house. But yeah, you know, it'll be some time before we have some relief for that. And the dispatchers are up there are just doing amazing job. There's only 21 of them, and they have worked their summers away. They're working massive amounts of overtime. I'm very appreciative of them, because they've given up their summer to protect and be there to help our citizens and be there to answer the phone. So
I'm glad they're there. Well, anyone who has a scanner,
right?
Here's them doing their job.
Yeah.
Well, Misty, thanks for visiting with us and giving us an update on the Rivercom system. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And I just want to give a huge shout out to all the listeners who support us even today, and all the folks that were a voice for Rivercom and helped campaign this measure. And I just really appreciate the outstanding results of that measure, and always appreciate your support. So thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks for being here today. It is almost time for the Chelan and Okanagan County Fair. Back tomorrow, we're going to talk with Karen Welch, the manager of the Chelan County Fair. A week from tomorrow, we're going to take the agenda out and broadcast live in the noon hour from the Chelan County Fairgrounds. So we'll have that conversation with Karen tomorrow. But here in just a few moments, we'll visit with the Okanagan County Fairgrounds manager, Stella Columbia. That's next on the agenda. News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Thanks for joining us on The Agenda today. And it is fair time in not only Chelan County here, coming up real soon, but also Okanagan County as well. And we have the fair manager, Stella Columbia from Okanagan County Fairgrounds with us. Hello, Stella. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. We're getting really excited about the fair coming up.
Yeah, you're September 5th through the 8th as well, just like the Chelan County Fair dates as well. So busy time getting the fairgrounds all prepared and ready to go. So we've been touching base with all the fairgrounds managers around North Central Washington. I was checking out your fair guide and was really struck with all of the, I guess the livestock judging, and you really maybe outdo all of the fairs around North Central Washington in that regard. So, boy, if you want to see livestock and animals, the Okanagan County Fairgrounds is the place to be September 5th through the 8th.
Yeah, we have a really strong FFA program throughout most of the schools and the 4-H programs, and a pretty large number of junior open entries every year. And the pig barn is growing like crazy every year, and we're outgrowing it. And yeah, we have a lot of young people really interested in the livestock exhibits and really enjoy and do a good job every year.
So tell me about, you must have a great rodeo coming up as well. So tell us about that and the dates. Folks can enjoy that.
We have the rodeo on Friday and Saturday evenings beginning at 7, and we're really excited because we have a brand new arena and track set up there that we're hoping that the participants and the spectators both really enjoy how much work has gone into it, and it's a very nice facility, and this will be our launch year for that facility.
Oh, so that's new since last year. What did it take to get that built and refurbished and ready to go?
One of the commissioners, Andy Hover, wrote a grant because our old facility was getting worn down and a bit of a safety issue, and the maintenance people and some of the volunteers and SAC members, the fair advisory committee members, have put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and really hats off to our maintenance crew who has really worked hard this summer to get this ready for fair.
Well, good for you. Good for you. So tell us, maybe highlight some of the great entertainment this year for the Okanagan County Fair.
Well, we have for the first time... Last we haven't had the carnival, so the carnival is planning to be here this year for Thursday through Sunday, so we're really excited to have them back. We have stage music, comedy. We have a ventriloquist coming in from pretty much all day. From noon on each day we'll have a very busy stage. The Robert Henry Band will be coming in, the Nashville Stars. We'll be here again, our local favorites, Knight Riders and Company Band, and several local bands that our local favorites will be featured as well. So we have a lot of good entertainment planned.
So it's exciting to get your carnival back and new grandstand facilities as well for folks to enjoy that for the rodeo. So it sounds like some big improvements this year for the Okanagan County Fair. That's exciting.
Yes. Well, so it's the grandstands are yet to come. The rodeo itself and a brand new inner rail for the track and new surfacing. So it's the facility that participants will actually be getting the benefit of this year, and we're hoping for grandstands soon.
Oh, okay. So the grandstands are yet to come. I understand.
Yes.
So you're a Thursday through a Sunday fair this year. So getting ready to go here in about a week's time. When is your load in and all of that? That's coming up, I would assume, probably next Wednesday or so?
But yep, our entries can be brought in for arts and crafts and home ec and all of that from noon to 8 on Wednesday. Animals that have been pre-registered will be coming in for vet checks and put in stalls earlier in the day than that, but that's all pre-arranged. There's no last minute for the large animals. All the other exhibits will be in by 8 o'clock Wednesday evening, and then the judging begins on Thursday morning.
So when is the, are there any special days for the Okanagan County Fair, like a senior day or a kids day, that sort of thing?
The schools and the nursing homes have all been sent letters to invite them to come on Thursday, and the schools will be bringing buses with children that get to come through for free with their school, including homeschool children that live in the school districts and then in the nursing homes. We don't have any other special passes or days, but those will be invited on Thursday morning.
Well, I've never been to the Okanagan County Fair, but sounds like a wonderful time. But I was really struck by your outstanding lineup of FFA participation in 4-H and all of, I think you've even got cat judging. So really runs the full gamut. For folks who'd like to learn a little bit more about what's going on at the Okanagan County Fair, I think if they go to the Okanagan County website, they'll find links there or on your Okanagan County Fair Facebook page. Anything else that you want to highlight for the Okanagan County Fair run this year? Again, September 5th through the 8th up in OMAC?
I would say that this year our vendor spaces are full.
Well, good for you.
Inside and outside. And we have really no more space to put any very busy fair with lots to see, and people can come and enjoy probably more than we have had for a couple of years. We are inside the Agriplex. We'll have a lot more vendors of people selling really interesting things. We have some really nice retail vendors in there this year.
Well, good for you. That's a lot of hard work has gone into that, I'm sure, to make it a great fair this year. Well, Stella Columbia, our guest, that's a beautiful name, Stella, very unique, and I wish you all the success this year for a successful run, September 5th through the 8th, same weekend as the Chelan County Fair. So if you're kind of listening to us up in the Okanagan County area or can't make it down to Chelan County Fair, don't forget Okanagan County Fair, the 5th through the 8th, first weekend after Labor Day of this year. So Stella, have a great fair run. Thanks for taking some time out to let our listeners know about the Okanagan County Fair this year.
All right, thank you, and we'd like to invite everyone to come and check it out.
Will do.